And I want to start off this morning taking us back, as Pastor Peter did recently, about the foundations of the church in Crete, where Titus is now receiving this letter. I want to go another step back into the conversions in Jerusalem on Pentecost, when people of different nationalities heard the apostles speaking in their own language on that day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit came upon those apostles. That day, 3,000 people became believers of Jesus Christ, and the church grew and spread from there. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people coming to faith in Jerusalem on that day when they spoke the gospel message. Peter stood up and spoke. You know, they said, well, these guys, I think they're just drunk, you know. That's what is going on. And Peter stood up and he gave the gospel message, and 3,000 people responded to follow Christ in believing him. It's in Acts 2, and we want to jump back there and look in Acts 2 for just a few minutes, where these 3,000 were saved that day in Jerusalem, believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as God himself, as he claimed. And so it says in verse 42 there of Acts 2, they then devoted themselves. This is all these folks that are now believers in Jesus Christ. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It comes to us in the scriptures today, and through Bible studies and classes and teachers today, hopefully through sermons. But it came to them through the apostles' teaching that they devoted themselves to hearing that teaching from the apostles, to hearing God's word given to them through the apostles in that day. And it says they devoted themselves to fellowship, where they could be encouraged, challenged, and supported, where they could serve together breaking bread. It says they gathered together in each other's homes and broke bread together. They ate meals together. They, not just fellowship, it's not, what is Baptist fellowship? Food, breakfast, you know. That's not really true. That's what we say, but that's not true, right? Fellowship isn't just this, hey, let's get together and have a good time, let's eat and party. Fellowship is this idea of being encouraged, challenged, you know, this sense of serving together. We are together in the cause. That is the idea of this fellowship that he's talking about, that they devoted themselves to fellowship and to breaking bread. And it says they devoted themselves to prayer, to carrying one another's burdens, their joys, worshiping together like we sing together here. They also worshiped in prayer, where they recognized God for who he was, that he was in charge, and brought concerns of the day, concerns of Jerusalem, concerns of the church, desires to see the church grow. They brought all that before the Lord in prayer. Together. They spent time together in prayer. And finally there, it says in verses 44 to 45, it says they had all things in common, selling their possessions to meet the needs of others in the church. You see, all that they had, they recognized, was a gift from God. It wasn't theirs. The scriptures talk about us being stewards of the gifts and the talents God has given us. So when we talk about what we're good at, when we talk about our abilities, our gifts, that is a gift from God. When we look at what we have in this world, you know, how blessed we are, where we live, what we have, that is all a gift from God. And you see, he didn't give it to us and say, hey, that's all just for you because you're so good. Just because I love you, you can have that for yourself. That's not what he's saying. All of his good gifts were given for our benefit and for us to use to build the church, to serve others, to love others. You see, what we have been given is to meet the needs of our family and to meet the needs that we have and to enjoy our relationship with God, but there's a much greater cause that he has in all of this. When they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the apostles' teaching, to prayer together, and to say, we are going to support one another, even with our finances, to give to the ministry of the gospel so that those in need would grow and would have their needs met. They didn't look at their talents, their finances, all those things as their own. They looked and said, here is what God has given to build his church. And we recognize that we are now his and called by him to serve and to build his church here and around the world. What's changed over the decades and the centuries? Absolutely nothing. Nothing of his word has changed at all. Nothing of God has changed. He is completely the same as he always has been. And it is as true for us today as it was for them back then. So, the sense of what he's doing here, that's one reason that we talk about giving as worship. It's not an obligation, but an outpouring of God's blessing. You know, we just had the offering time, and what we do, some of you give online, and some of you give here, some, you know, it's different for each one. But that is, when we talk about it as a time of worship, it's because it's not an obligation. It's what God has given to us, and we, as the family of God, are called on his mission to be a part of building his church. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 2, they were doing the same kind of thing. They went and sold a piece of property, and Barnabas had already been doing this. You know, Barnabas is, as Pastor Peter talked to us about, what's his nickname? Son of Encouragement, or what it means. And they saw him give some of his property and give the funds to help others, and so they said, we're going to do that too. They went and sold their property, but then they said, oh, but we're not going to give it all. We're going to hold some of this back, and we're going to... And they went and they said, here's what we sold. And the leaders there actually said, now wait a minute, is this everything? Not because they wanted everything, right? It wasn't what it was about. But Ananias and Sapphira, their heart was not in the right place. They were trying to do it to look good. And so they held some back, but they wanted to look good. And so they did this all out of wrong motive. And God knew it. So when we come and we say it's a time of worship, all of who we are, our talents, our gifts, our finances, they were given to us that we might have that heart attitude of, God, you've gifted me this way. How can I serve others with it? How can I build your church? That's what he's called us to. However he calls us, where he calls us, what he gives us to do. What we have this morning is the call on Titus. And we want to look at that call for what Titus is called to do, who he's called to be in Crete. Verse 46 of Acts 2, it says, day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That is the foundation of the church. Building out from there, growing into the communities and into the world around them, where the church was then spread. It even went to Crete. Even Crete, where they were known to be, and they had a reputation for being liars and scoundrels. And so in that sense of this growth and giving of what you've been given, Titus becomes a student of Paul's and a partner in the ministry. And he goes to Crete, and Paul says in this letter, there, use your gifts and your talents and all you have to build the church. It's how we live together that he's talking about in our lives. It's how we build one another up. How we can be like that today. And so over September and October, you're going to be hearing about our different ministries at Faith. And so today, we're going to do that sort of during the sermon. And so where's Jim? Oh, come on up here. You're going to hear a couple different things of our adult ministries, because when we talk about how are we doing this together, we want to talk about some illustrations of that and hear from Jim. We need the microphone. So Jim, come on up here. And Jim, I get to see you every first and third, well, as long as I make it, every first and third Thursday. Where is that? Why do you go to this men's group that you're part of? And how'd you get started, and why do you go?
Okay, we always meet at the Burnt Hills Cafe, and we meet at 8 a.m.
Keep that up by your mouth.
We meet at 8 a.m., and we have several men that go there. We've got 8 to 12 different guys, and if you can't tell, I'm a breakfast lover, so when I first went there, I went there to try to get to know people and to also be able to study the Bible.
Okay.
And, you know, it's really nice. It's been I've only been coming here about a year. Most of you don't know me. And it's been a really excellent way that I've been able to get to know a lot of the men in our church. Now, some of us may say, you're just a bunch of old, mature men. And you're probably right. Most of us are over the age of 50 that go there. But it's really been enjoyable to me to be able to get to know and to become part of the church through these men and the experiences that we share. We live life together. We do life together. And I really enjoy it. And it's been very uplifting for me. So I know we have a lot of room. We can make room for anybody who wants to come. You don't have to be over 50. We'd love to have some people that are under 50. Myself, some of you may know I'm a businessman. It's been hard for me to make every Thursday, but I pretty much made most of them. But I treat it like if I'm going to go to a lawyer's appointment or an accountant's appointment, I just box the time out. It's only an hour and a half a week, and I do it. So I really enjoy it.
What's one of the benefits for you being there regarding, you know, what are you studying right now?
Oh, right now we're studying the book of Galatians, and I'm a new Christian. I've only really been in touch with God for the past 8 years of my life, and so it's really, really interesting to me and to the people we're studying. John Stott is the author of the book. A lot of you may know him, but we're studying Galatians, and it's only usually we do 30 minutes or so of breakfast along with talking and getting to discuss everybody's lives, and then we do about 20, 25 minutes of Bible study. And but it's been really helpful to me to come closer to know these things. You'd be surprised how many things I don't know, and you'd just be surprised.
Jim, thanks. Appreciate it. I'm going to take that and I'll put it down here. Thank you for being here this morning. So it's great being there. This last Thursday, I showed up, and I was actually on time, and I still got the end chair at the end of this table and, you know, right in front of the bathroom door. You know, because they had all filled in the tables already. So it's a great time. And but how they're building one another up. They spend time praying together with each other in the morning there before they go into the study. And they do spend some time eating too, yes. But it's good to be with them. So we think about building the church. And this message that Paul has to Titus in this second chapter, it starts off saying, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine." This whole idea that Paul is telling Timothy to actually teach people what becomes doctrine. Now, does that mean what he teaches is what is becoming doctrine? It's not what it's talking about. When it says with what accords with doctrine, it's this what becomes the doctrine alive and living in our lives, inside of me, inside of you. That's what he's talking about. When he says it, he's looking at what is actually taken in and becoming part of who you are. What becomes doctrine in you. So he's not saying, make up new beliefs. He's saying, actually, help these people understand the foundations of the truth of Jesus Christ alive in them. and living out in everyday life. That's what he's going after when he talks about this. That's why you see then where he talks about this every stage, every age, where he's talking to the older men, the older women, the younger men, the slaves. He's talking about everybody in the culture. Remember, they beat this into you, but they don't do that in seminary. They don't beat us. But they just push and push and push this one truth about studying Scripture. What is the context that you're studying from? Not what's your context, what's the context you're studying from? The context of the people that are hearing these words from the Apostle Paul. What is Titus seeing around him? And so when he looks at this letter and reads this letter, he's seeing this multi-generational culture around him with slaves and, you know, bond servants. And Paul is saying, how are you going to help your whole church know Jesus Christ and live him out? And so he talks about the older men, a man to be a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and God by even the greatest trials and struggles in his life. So even through those things, he has not swerved from God, that he walks in relationship with his God. Even in the hard times, even in the joys, he's still the same. For older women, Paul instructed the older women to be reverent, that they would be, that word is related to the word for temple worship, that their lives would reflect what it looks like to walk into the temple and worship God. That's what their lives would display to people. You think of that, how they would worship God in the temple, recognizing him as the great creator and the king. That's what their lives should look like. And so he talks about the older women and how they live out their lives in front of others, especially younger women. Matthew Henry said this, and I thought it was a good way to say it. Those who are full of years, which there are several of us here, those who are full of years should be full of grace and goodness, the inner person renewing more and more as the outer decays. Right? We don't heal as fast as we used to. We don't move as fast as we used to. We recognize the downward trend of getting old. But he says, as you see that happening, would you have just the opposite happening inside you? That we are renewed more and more to reflect and display God in us, his character through us. That's what he's talking about for these older men and women. And he says to the older women, you ought to then live in such a way to impact the younger women starting out in adult life. They should learn from you. Focus on the loving husband and children if they have them. If not, how do they prepare for that in their lives? Character matters. How we live matters in front of God. It says they're working at the duties of the home. And I want us to understand this is not barefoot pregnant in the kitchen, right? That's not a scriptural picture at all. When they talk about working at home, these ladies ran enterprises out of the home. They ran their farms, basically. You think of somebody running a farm today and all that it takes with running the budgets, running the finances, running the fertilizers, running the feed, the animals, the trading, the selling, the buying. Ladies could do that out of their back pocket, right? I didn't know if I would say this, but you know those old commercials? Some of you weren't old enough to know those old commercials. But the lady that says, I bring the bacon home and I fry it up in a pan, right? Dorky. But That's what was going on in this culture, in this age, where he's saying when you work at the duties of your home, you're looking at what's happening in your life and in your home so that this enterprise is growing and bringing glory to God. Overseeing your children, overseeing the farm and the family and the enterprise of home, and loving your husband. And so it talks about the roles that he's given us and how we live that out. For younger men, he says, Titus is called to teach these guys, and he is either one of them or himself or close enough that they relate to him. And Paul puts the focus on Titus's words and his behavior. He says he's called to show his life, to be an example to these younger men of how to live as believers in Christ. We're going to pause and bring up some marriage mentors. And we have a number of different couples that are doing this, and the catch poles are the leaders in this. And I think we have three different couples here with us today. But you think about that when he talks about older women, share your lives with younger women so that they know how to love their husbands, to love their children, to do all this, to be in the marriage. How many of you say, oh, marriage is a piece of cake? They don't say that.
No, we just celebrated 50 years. It's not a Woo. Piece of cake. Hallelujah. Well, what a privilege this morning to say good morning. And on behalf of our marriage mentors, Bob said be very, very brief, so I will. My wife, Nancy, the Howells, by the way, I invited Dan and Walt in particular because we're talking about the older men this morning. And but we have Dan and Barb and Walt and Jean. There are three other couples that are active. And we talked earlier this morning about the three walls in the lobby. On the right side wall, if you're looking at them, there's information about the marriage mentor ministry. It's a trifold. There's other information out there as well. So if you're interested in enriching your marriage, it's a very simple ministry, a couple coming alongside another couple. And we praise the Lord for that. Not with us this morning are the Wadsworths, the Corbins. I'm sorry, not the Corbins. They'd be surprised. Yes, it is. Dan Corbin and his wife. And also we have, I'm doing a block here for a moment. Come on, guys. The Littles, they're not with us this morning. So we thank the Lord for that. Also, I wanted to just share briefly that Weekend to Remember, Family Life Today Ministry sponsors this at the Saratoga Hilton on November 29th, December 1st, and 2nd. There'll be a Weekend to Remember, great opportunity to go and have a wonderful time, enrich your marriage there. Assisting us in promoting this are the Best of Venus. Just wave to us for a moment, and we thank the Lord for that. Brochures are also on that wall back there as well. So thank you very much, Pastor Bob.
Thanks, guys. Just wanted to get you some FaceTime on these couples, but the idea that what they're doing is exactly what Titus is called to do, of sharing their lives, just walking alongside, praying with folks and encouraging them and giving them an ear to work on life. And so we are called, just as all these groups and even the slaves in that culture, to have the display of the character of God in our lives, the impact of God in us and through us, inside the church and outside the church. Verse 5, it says that the word of God may not be reviled. That's how the women should live. And it should be all of us. It's talking specifically about them in that example, but it relates to all of us. Verse 8, it says, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. That's how Timothy should be showing his integrity and his truthfulness in his life, and therefore us as well. And it says in verse 10, so that the bondservants may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. You think of that adorn it. When you adorn something, you beautify it. You make it look beautiful. It can be beauty in its own, but then you hang other things on it that make it look and engage people. And we have the privilege of doing that with the gospel. With the gospel. You know, in these verses, it says five times in eight verses that we are to be, that people are to be one way or another. It talks about us being five times in eight verses. And it is Christ-like character that he's looking at developing through the building of our spiritual lives. We are to be like Christ. It talks about being self-controlled. That precept, that principle in our lives of being self-controlled, it says that over and over for each of these different age groups, these different people, it talks about being self-controlled four times in these verses. And it's this interesting thing of the culture again. Their culture was volatile. They were known to be liars, known to be out of control. And in that culture, that context, Paul says to Titus, help them learn to be self-controlled. Why? That they might display the character of Jesus Christ in their lives, so that others might know him and be glorified through us. What is our culture around us? That God has put us together in this place to live in our culture, to follow him in the life-changing community that he's made us. And so I want to bring up one more group this morning. We're talking about different aspects of the ministries that you can be part of, that you are that are available to you, that you are looked at and said, how do you grow in your faith? So the Vogus family group, where are you guys? Who's coming up? Come on, race. All right, it's great to have these guys. These guys are a family group that get together, even though they're not bringing their kids up. So who's speaking? I want you to hear a little bit about these guys and how you got started, what got you into this group, and what does it mean to you that you guys are getting together as this small group?
Hi, I'm Esther Denham, and two or three years ago, I'll just tell this from the personal side, we were going through a tough time, especially parenting one of our children. And it was just several months and even longer than that. But at this point in time that I'm telling about, it was just several months. We were into it. And we reached a point where somebody outside of this church just said to me, you need to be in a small group to get support. And Larry and I had been part of small groups in the past and had had great experiences in small groups. But at that time, we weren't part of a small group. So I was like, okay, the way she said this, I think this is God saying, I need to be in a small group. I really need this. And so about a week later, it was on a Wednesday night here at church, and Heather Vogus turned around and she said, she was sitting in front of me, and she said, we're thinking about starting a small group. Would you like to be part of it? And I said, yeah, I think so. So that was how God got us involved, and it was very encouraging to have support and build relationships that helped us through some of that difficult time, and it's good to be in the body of Christ where we can serve one another and use our gifts to help each other. So.
Yeah, I'd just say that we really see, Esther and I really see that it's a place where we learn to know God through our brothers and sisters in Christ, consistent with what you said today from Acts, Bob. It's right there. They're the body of Christ, so Christ walking in the flesh, and we learn from them. And our focus is really on prayer for one another. We all go through crises, not just us. The rest of them have shared things, too, at times. And so we learn from each other. We pray for each other. Our children support each other, and they're close. And that's a way that the young men and young women can grow. And, you know, we're not living close enough that we meet daily and eat together every day and share our meals. But so we're not strict to the end of Acts 2. But I think we're trying to live it out and see the Holy Spirit work through and speak through each other. So,
thanks.
I'll just say real quick. So we moved here 3 years ago and knew no one. And it's a very large church. And we feel so, so incredibly blessed to be here. We love coming on Sundays and we love coming on Wednesdays. And we feel like we're fed and we're challenged in our walk and growth with Christ. But, you know, that there's just that little half hour in between service and Sunday school. And it's just not enough time to really see and talk to everyone you want to, and so small group for us is really a place to build those deep friendships and relationships that you just can't squeeze in on Sundays or Wednesdays. So it's just been a great blessing. So, and again, the prayer support is phenomenal. So it's just great. So,
anybody? Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. We got to wrap up as the come forward here at the end. Why do we do that? Why did Paul talk to Titus about teaching in such a way that it's passed from older to younger, from one person to another? This sense that in our culture, how do we live out the gospel together? Focus on the family, lest you think I'm saying, oh, we all are perfect and we all just need to do this and just be perfect. I thought this was good. I got on one of my emails from Focus on the Family this week. Do you ever struggle with the feeling that you must have it all together before God can use you? If so, be encouraged. Throughout the Bible and church history, we see examples of people who weren't necessarily qualified, but still stepped forward in faith to play key roles in the Lord's plan for reaching and changing the world. God doesn't require us to be experts in the ways we tend to expect. But he does ask us to humbly, willingly stand and speak up for what we believe with others in the context of community. Verse 11 says this, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the glory of Jesus Christ to come. What is God asking you to do? Just like he did Titus. To step in to life with Jesus Christ in this community, in this culture, to display the glory of God and the truth of the gospel. Lord, do a work in us first, that we might follow you, that we might live differently than the world around us because we encourage one another. Help us to take that step this fall somewhere to join a Bible study, a group, a place, a meeting with someone else who believes that we will grow, that we will live for Jesus Christ, and it will change who we are. That the world around us, the people that meet us, the ones that work with us, the ones that go to school with us, live next to us, will see Jesus through us. Help us to do that, not by our own strength, but by living in this community that you've put us in and taking that next step of growing together, of being your people, for the glory of Jesus Christ to be lived out and shined through us. Amen.